You can't have missed the bushfires still burning in Queensland and northern New South Wales. So far, more than 20 houses have been destroyed, and it's only September. We can expect to see more days of extreme heat in the future too, and they'll be coming earlier in the season. But as people push out of our cities into new housing developments or tree change towns, it's only going to get harder to fight these fires, particularly for the volunteers. Erica Voles has more.
Ecologically, grasslands would typically burn more often than a forest would. A mountain ash forest should burn, you know, once every more than 100 years, whereas a grassland would naturally burn, you know, every 10 years or less.
The secret was we were there quick. That was the main thing, the service. We got out, we were at the station, we were out very quick. Another 2 or 3 minutes, we probably mightn't have done us good. It's the time factor is very important in the early stages of any fire, you know.
I was acutely aware of the fact that there were all these heroes, and I use the word heroes, there was all these heroes in town, you know, volunteer firefighters running towards the fire, and I'm off on holiday.
I'm in Little River, a small town about 50 k's from Melbourne, 28 from Geelong.
Terry?
Eric, how are you?
Hello, lovely to meet
good,
you.
Good to see you. It's cold, windy.
It is a bit windy. Terrible. So this is the CFA right near the train station.
Yeah.
In recent years, people have been moving to Little River to enjoy a tree change, to buy a hobby farm, maybe some chooks or horses, but their jobs remain in Geelong or Melbourne. All of this has an impact when fires start on a hot day, especially during the week when everyone's at work.
Come out of the wind.
Terry Head is a local farmer and captain of the Little River Country Fire Authority Station, or CFA.
So this is, well, we're one truck short, they're doing repairs on one.
And it's like a small station.
I've been captain of the Little River Fire Brigade for 44 years, member of the CFA for about 54.
Who tended to volunteer back then?
Well, 90% of the farmers were in the brigade then. At this stage, I'm the only farmer that's left in the brigade. The whole community's changed.
And so how's it changed?
Most of the farms have been taken and bought by developers and such around, and we've got newer people in on smaller acreages and such. Most people in the district now have never seen a decent fire, whereas all the older people that were in the brigade back in the early days, we've seen quite a few through here over the years. The main fire, the big fire, was the Lara bushfires in 1969. It killed people on the Princes Freeway. I was heavily involved in that. We've just had a 50-year, not a reunion, a commemoration day. That was the biggest one. Then we've had fires in 1985 that came through here. We've had a few. Look, it's too many to remember.
And grass fires? Is that the main risk around here, grass fires?
Yes, definitely grass fires. The difference between grass and bush fires is that grass fires travel very quickly, you know, up to 10, 15 kilometres an hour on bad days. So that's the difference. Whereas the bush, you've got a little bit more time to plan and such.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of this area and how it's changed, you said that some of the farmers have sold out and there are smaller acreages now. So there's lots more development that's coming in here now.
Yes, that's right. Yes, there is, yes. Yeah, a lot of sort of hobby farms, like, you know, some go a bit bigger, but most are 5-10 acres. They have their horses and their, you know, their family, few pets and things. And, it's just a lifestyle to get away from the city. And they came down here and it's a good spot. You know, we're pretty handy to Melbourne, Geelong, everywhere. But they don't sort of get very involved in the fire business until the fire we had recently. Mm-hmm. Then that sort of brought a few people out of the woodwork.
So there's definitely a fire risk outside of that urban area, and it depends a bit on the housing density.
Don Driscoll is Professor of Integrative Ecology at Deakin University. He's researched land management practices and their impact on wildfires.
If the houses are all built close together and perhaps with a ring road around the suburb, then the houses are going to have a certain degree of protection from fires coming in from the adjacent, you know, forests or grasslands. But if they're built at very low density, then they don't have that that sort of buffering protection, and that makes them vulnerable.
What about commuter suburbs and corridors, kind of getting just a little bit further out of cities?
Yeah, so I guess the well, the fire risk does change, because if you put more people in the landscape, the risk of ignitions increases. So the chances of a fire starting are going to be higher just because there are more people having access to these areas. But other than that, you've got the sort of the same risk of fire, but more infrastructure in the way to be damaged.
Yeah, they fence their little properties off in a lot of fences. If we have to go into those properties, we've got to contend with fences, plantations, which in the old days was more open paddocks. It was a lot easier to get to the fire initially. And also it caused a lot more time cleaning up after the fire, mopping up.
How many volunteers do you have here at the moment?
We've got about 15 registered volunteers. We're short on, we've sort of lost a few good people over the years. They've moved out as well. They've sold up for good money and gone elsewhere, you know. Mm.
And is that enough in terms of for what you guys need to do here?
It's enough during the weekend. During the week is our biggest problem, working week, which is now. That's when we would probably struggle. We get three or four. Then we get help from other brigades around us, of course, during the week. But it is hard. All brigades in these sort of areas now are finding it hard during the working week.
Fire crews are battling to contain an out-of-control grass fire in Melbourne's southwestern fringe tonight.
In December 2018, Little River experienced a really serious grass fire that burnt almost 1,300 hectares of land and threatened some houses.
The blaze at Little River came fast and with ferocity. Fanned by hot, gusty winds, it was dangerously close to destroying homes.
Very scary. Mm-hmm. Seen it come back through the back of Wyndham Vale. Mm-hmm. I was working on that end.
Okay, well, on the day of the fire,
yep. We
were called from here and... Actually, we were at the fire station doing something,
yep. Which
was good. Saved us a couple of minutes, because I live just a couple of hundred metres down there. Mm-hmm. So we're heading north now. It's about 4 or 5 k's up here where we hit the fire.
And as we're driving along, I mean, this is what you imagine if you wanted to move out of the city. This is what you go for, like a tree change.
Yes.
You know, beautiful trees everywhere.
The other thing we encounter sometimes, people plant trees up their driveway,
yeah. And
they just cannot get a fire truck in because of the low-lying branches. See, there's one there.
Oh, wow. And, okay.
So we tell people to make sure they keep their access. If they want us to get a fire truck in there, they've got to give us access to the big, fairly big fire trucks. And it burnt right along here, right along this road, right back to the Little River. Mm-hmm. Jumped on the western side of the Little River. And these homes here were saved basically by aircraft. The aircraft came in and water bombed these areas, these homes here. And there were some people here, I remember. They was going to stay. I said, get the hell out of here. They were worried about their horses in here.
Yeah.
I said, your horses will be okay. And they were. So where we're going now, I'm just going to show you some potential risks from this coming fire season.
Yes.
Such a cold, windy day. It feels like a funny day to be talking about fire risks, right? But, you know, summer's right around the corner. So, looking out here, I can see lots of kind of green grass and browny grass, and some of it is up to my ankles, some of it would be up to my knees.
Well, this is serrated tussock. If there was a fire to start here in the summertime,
yep.
That fire would travel at probably 15 k's an hour,
right,
in this sort of stuff.
And this kind of grass is all over Little River, and it goes all the way to...
Basically to Werribee, back at Werribee there.
Where you've got, again, more
subdivisions and such. Yes. There's no way anyone can mow it, or there's too many rocks. It's just a matter of hoping nothing happens.
And so getting ready for fire season, what does that involve with you trying to kind of reach out to the community?
Oh, well, we have these street corner meetings, arranged for, you know, residents to come along and talk to us and ask us questions, and we have people from CFA come out, distribute brochures and all that sort of stuff, which is good, but most of the time we only get the older residents that have been around for a while and have seen a bit of fire.
Mm.
We've had very few new residents turn up. We had Nordlies yesterday, stronger than this. You know?
In Little River, it's been hard to recruit enough volunteers who are available to help out the CFA during the week. But we're going to meet Warren Rapson, who's lived in Little River with his wife for the past decade. He's recently decided to join the CFA.
I think you should use
the first gate, and that gate's got a button. Okay.
Yeah. That's shutting it. Yeah, that'll do. Good on you.
Cool.
We arrive and we meet Warren outside his home.
Let me just go get some boots on, because I'll get soaking wet if I walk around.
Yep.
Out the front is a new horse yard, and to the left is a pine tree plantation, which Terry immediately sizes up as a serious fire risk.
They got on fire, that's for sure. I didn't realise you had these damn pine trees next to you. Are they yours?
Yeah.
I just say to Erica, they're a real potential risk, them things.
I reckon.
If they get on fire, they'll just drop all over your house.
I know.
So that's where he'd have to have all his spouts cleaned, fill them with water, you know, and take his necessary precautions. Right. You have a plan, you know, your fire plan, or you have all that done before.
And then you leave.
Yeah, that should be done weeks before the summer. And make sure your family don't stay here if there's a fire threatening those.
Mm.
Get out, because it'll be that hot and intense, you'll never survive.
Yep.
Your family's your number one, of course. Your house, you need another house too, but don't want to frighten you, but that's how it happens.
That's the reality, isn't it?
Yeah.
Would you like coffee?
I actually haven't had coffee today, so that would be really nice.
Yeah, it's real coffee. It's an espresso, but it's beautiful.
Okay. Yep, that's great. Great.
Now, you're a recent recruit to the local CFA. What prompted you to join up?
Well, I guess it was all about the fires in December. So we were away on a family holiday, the first holiday with the new caravan, and being 6 hours away and hearing all this stuff on the news and mostly on Facebook, people just saying, you know, are you okay, are you okay? And as it got worse and worse, when they started closing the freeway and things like that, we couldn't do anything. We were 6 hours away, we had a caravan, and even if we did dump the van and start travelling back, I mean, 6 hours, is, you know, that was, there was nothing we could do, absolutely nothing we could do. Mm. All I could do was hope that our property was safe. But when we got back, was chatting to one of the other newer members, and she was telling me about the group of guys and about the brigade and about the size of the district, and she was telling me that they do need new members, and I thought to myself, well, that's really a no-brainer for me. I'd never really considered it, but I don't know why I hadn't really considered it before, because I'm, especially now that I work at home, I'm readily available. I can be at the station in, say, 4 or 5 minutes, and, you know, I'm young and fit enough to contribute, so I guess that's why.
Do you think all of the new residents that have kind of come here, do you think all of them are across the fire risks?
No, we're city people. Generally speaking, we're city people coming for a tree change. We buy these properties and then, you know, we have a wet winter and then a nice sunny spring and the grass goes nuts. We struggle to find time in our busy schedules to keep it down. You know, the other thing too is we do start collecting vehicles because all of a sudden we've got space to buy project cars.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
As more people around Australia relocate to areas on the urban fringe and beyond, educating newcomers about the new fire risks they face is crucial. And while ecologist Don Driscoll says good vegetation management and better building standards will help save houses, sometimes just leaving early on extreme fire days is the best plan.
Yeah, we do need to look at making sure that people are aware of the risks and the trade-offs, but also you can just leave on dangerous days and make sure insurance is well paid.
That was Don Driscoll, Professor of Integrative Ecology at Deakin University, ending that report from Erica Voles, and he was speaking via Skype.